right. Praise the Lord. This is your pastor, Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of 1 Samuel, and we're at chapter 3, and there are 21 verses in this chapter, and we have some translation and commentary. And we'll also be reading from 1 John chapter 5, because this chapter, the Lord told me, I believe that it fits in with this chapter very well. So let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint this, the message from God's Word. We're all to become part of the Word of God, because until we become the Word of God, we are not the Word of God. We're not the Son of God. We're not members of the Son of God. So we have to become the Word of God. We actually have to be part of the Word of God, members of it. We have to be those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is, or believe in God, which is the Word, shall be saved. And the Bible states that we are saved by every word which proceeds from the mouth of the living God. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Word of God. So when it says, believe on the word, Lord Jesus Christ, it's saying, believe on the Word of God, the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. And chapter 5 in the book of 1 John tells us that we must become part of the Word of God. We must live a living testimony of the Word of God. Our life has to be the Word of God. And so right now, Lord, we ask that you bless the anoint, everything that is done in this service, the message, and all the commentary. And Lord, let it grow in us. Let us get us closer to becoming the Word of God. In the name of Jesus we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
We want to become more of the Word of God so that we can spend eternity in heaven, because this is what the Word of God tells us. This is what Jesus tells us. If we become one with the Word of God, which is God, which is Christ, then we shall spend eternity in Him, with Him, as Him. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this message. Glory to God. Now, let's read from chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 Samuel. Let's start out that way anyway with this 21 verses, and let's see what happens.
The Lord speaks to Samuel, King
David. And the word, that's saying the Word of God speaks to Samuel. In other words, Jesus talks to Samuel. When the Lord talks to you, that's the Word of God talking to you. Amen?
Amen.
When you're reading the Word, it is the Word talking to you. It's Jesus talking to you. It's God talking to you. These three are one. The Word and the blood and the water. Amen?
Amen.
All three are God, the Spirit, the blood, the water, the Word. All of it is one. And so in order for us to be sons of God, or as gods, or a part of God, one of His members, we have to be like Him. We have to be the Word of God. Okay, and people that say, well, I don't read the Word enough, well, then you're not the Word. Isn't that simple? Amen. So let's hear the first verse.
King James Version, verse 1.
Okay, and this is First Samuel, chapter 3. I keep wanting to say First Kings because that's where I'm at. But I always run a little ahead of the troop here, right? The group. The lump. Okay, let's go.
And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision.
Okay, and so therefore, there were very few people then that were of the Lord, that were one with the Lord. Okay. And what verse was that?
1.
Okay, and then verse 2.
And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. Verse 3. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was.
That was a big no-no, to let the lamp of God go out. Because that's symbolic of you allowing yourself not to read the Word and become part of the Word, or to let the Word of God be you and you be the Word of God on a daily basis. Because we all have to become the Word of God in order to be members of God. That's how devoted the Lord wants us to be, is that we actually become the Word of God. We're so entrenched in it. It tells us that in the book of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel started wading into the Word of God, which is the river of God, up to his ankles and up to his knees and then to his loins, and then finally he got into the Word, so the Spirit, the water, the blood, God, so much, because this is a metaphor of what this is all about, but he had to swim in the Word of God. And until we're swimming in the Word of God, you're not really members of God's. Now, the Lord allows you, if he sees you striving to become one with the Word, or in other words, one with Christ or God, then he sees you pressing on to the mark, which is the fullness of the stature of the Word of God. The Lord, the fullness of the stature of God, the Word. Okay, so we have to just keep wading in and wading in until we can't wait any further. The water just carries us, the Word just carries us into eternity. Amen?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then what?
And Samuel was laid down to sleep, verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I."
The Word called Samuel. He says, "Here am I. I mean, I'm ready to receive whatever you're going to say, Lord." Well, the Word of God was precious in those days. Right now, it's available. It's like readily available, the whole Word of God, the Old and New Testament. And then also, if you're aware of some of the Bible books that never were put in the Bible, that never contradict the Bible, they're all part of it. If you're aware of those, then you get more of the Word of God. And some people say, well, he's adding to the Word of God. These people don't know the Lord that say such things as that. Because they don't know the Word, the King James Version, and they don't know the extra 5 books that the Catholics put in their Bible. And they don't know all the other books, like the Book of Enoch, Jasher, and several of the other ones that are mentioned in the Bible. All right, and so let's go, keep going.
Verse 5, and he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou calledest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and laid down.
So Samuel thought it was Eli for calling him, and here it was the Word calling him. Then what? Because the Word was going to draw him in to himself, the Word. In other words, the Spirit of life was going to call him into his life, God's life, the Spirit's life. The Word was going to call him into the Word's life. That's what he's doing. Then what?
Verse 6, and the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again."
See, the Lord is just putting him on a little trip here, letting him know that there's someone else in the house. Amen?
Amen.
God is everywhere. And if you're desirous of really serving the Lord as Samuel was, then you'll become one with the Word. The Lord says, "See, I see your faithfulness. Now I want you to become part of me." And you're not going to become part of me by going over to Eli. Then what?
Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him.
So you can't know the Lord until the word of the Lord is revealed unto him. Amen?
Amen.
You see that? He didn't know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. Amen?
Amen.
So how can you know the Lord unless you know the word? Because the word is the Lord, and when you know the word, then you know the Lord. And when you know the Lord, then you're one with him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 8.
I think this is a good time to go to, like, 1 John chapter 5. The last chapter in the book of 1 John. You know, it's right near Revelation, you know. John, all those Johns, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Okay, go ahead, read, start up. Has everybody found the place now, 1st John, chapter 5? You still? I hear shuffling. Have you got it yet? You're all there. Oh, okay. I hear the pages. All right, let's start reading.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ.
Whoever believeth that Jesus is the Word, is the Christ, the one that God sent, the Word that God sent into the world. Now, the Christ is the one that says, in the first chapter of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word came into the world to be the Christ. Amen. So everyone that believes that Jesus is the Word, or that the Word, okay, read that again.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ,
is the Word, is God, the Word. Then what?
Is born of God.
Becomes one with God. Amen.
Amen.
Because then the Father has begotten you, just as He did Jesus in Mary's womb, and God wants to beget Himself into you. As he begot himself into Mary's womb. How does that happen? Just like it did with Mary. The Holy Spirit overshadows you, the Word of God overshadows you and enters into your being, into your spirit, and you become one in, God becomes one inside of you, just like he became one inside of Mary. Mary is not deity, and when God enters into you, you're not deity either, because you have to fill yourself full of the Word of God, and to become a member of Christ's body that needs to grow, just like a little baby. It's certainly a human being, but it still is not an adult yet. And so when the Lord enters into your body, when the Word enters into your soul, and you know it's the truth, and you receive it as God, the Word is God. The Word is Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the Word of God, the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Then you become one with God, but you have to grow up until you become full of the Word, and then you're with the fullness of the stature of the Word of God. And some people say, well, you can't know the whole Word. You never will if you have that attitude, but you must know God. And the Word of God came into the world to show us how to understand God, and so we can understand Him very well. I hear these supposed-to-be old-time preachers say, we'll never understand it. It's just a far thing. The Word of God gives us all understanding. Amen?
Amen?
And the Bible says that, too. Okay? So, read that sentence again.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Yeah, whoever believes that the Word of God is the truth, and Jesus said, I am the truth. The Word is the truth. Amen. Is born of God. You become a son of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody should say hallelujah to that. In other words, hallelujah means praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, isn't that something? Somebody like this Reverend Heggie today says, you people are nothing but just carnal beings. But when that isn't really true. We're carnal outwardly, but inwardly we're sons of God if we believe the Word of God and live the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
To believe it is to prove that you believe it, you must live it. In other words, God is not living in you. He wants the Word Himself to live His life out in you. Amen?
Amen.
And so, Haggai is saying, all you are is just a lump of dirt. Well, I take offense at that. I believe the Bible that says that I'm also a spiritual man, a new creature. I am a God man. God is in me, and I'm also a natural creature, but I'm also supernatural inside. He said, some woman said, well, no, I'm supernatural too. And he says, woman, he says, do you go to the bathroom? And she said, yes. She says, well, then you're here natural. And it seemed obnoxious to me that he should use such a parable because I featured him in the bathroom. He's such a, you know. Okay, then what? And it was very nauseating to me. But that was a very bad parable, and I disagree with him immensely. Okay, so, you know, Mr. Hagee needs to know that we are natural, but also inside we become supernatural, we become new creatures. God has quickened us, the Bible says, into supernatural. We're resurrected from our dead life and works to the works of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, maybe he, because his mind is in the toilet, should, reconsider his statement. Amen?
Amen.
All right. If you've ever seen Mr. Hagee, you'll also be nauseated thinking of him on the throne. Okay, and then what else?
And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him.
So everyone that loveth him that did fathered the Word of God, that is the Word of God, also loves him that the Father begat. He loves the Word. Everyone that loves God loves the Word of God. Amen is what
Amen.
It's saying. And Christ is the Word of God. And the Word of God is Christ. So if there's any issue in the Bible that you don't agree with, then you're not begotten of God, because we get into the kingdom of heaven by receiving every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The whole Bible, in other words. In other words, Christ, the wholeness of Christ. Then what?
Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God.
By this we know we love the children of God. If you love the Word of God, then you love the children of God, because they are actually sons of God. How could you hate a son of God unless you're a son of the devil? Amen?
Amen.
Now, we know that. Everyone that hates me, I figure they're not of the Lord. They're of the devil. Because I know I'm of the Lord because I love the Word of God. And I love the Jesus, I love the Word of God, I love the blood of Jesus, I love the water, I love the Spirit of God. It's just the Spirit of God in me, and I'm not doing anything other than what God tells me to do. Now, some people may take issue with that, but that's all right. I still am saved, okay? Okay. And so many people make quick decisions about the people of the Lord, the children of the Lord. They don't even know him. They've never met him. They just make quick decisions because their mind is not, and it's not fully developed, and their spirit has not been regenerated. They're not saved. So they just love, you know, they've got the bitter streak in them, and their tongue is unruly. And they set the course of nature on fire with it. It's a small member, and yet it controls the entire body, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
It's like the rudder of a ship that gets tossed to and fro by the wind. It mentions this in the book of James. And yet it's led about by, steered about with a little tiny rudder, this great big monstrous ship. The Queen Mary II and the QE2, the Queen Elizabeth II, there's just a little rudder in there. And your tongue is the small member in your body, and yet it will send your soul to hell and others, or it will bring life to others and yourself by receiving the Word of God and speaking the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments.
When we love the Word of God and do what it says. If you don't love the Word of God, and if you don't do what it says, well, then you don't love God, because God is the Word. God is Christ. And so if you're not doing what the Word says, well, then you're lost. You don't have any intention to become one with the Word of God. And so God is standing there waiting for you to want to become one with Him, with His Son, the Word, but you won't comply. You have to swim into the Word of God and be in there. And then you've got these devils that say, well, if you get too much of the Word of God in you, you're going to go crazy. Well, the one that's telling you that is already crazy because they're possessed with the devil. Anyone that would say tell you that the wisdom and understanding of God's Word would make you crazy, they're the crazy ones. And that's the attitude you must always take, is that God is truth. Amen?
Amen.
And anyone that says that the truth could make you crazy, the truth makes you free. Amen?
Amen.
It makes you wise, and wiser than anybody else in the world. Okay? That's what Solomon said and David said. Amen?
Amen.
The wisest one in the world, because he listened to what the Lord said. And he listened intently, and he became part of the Word, part of the Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, we have to become one in the Spirit. Then what?
Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments.
And how can you know what His commandments are if you don't know the Word? You have to know the Word in order to know God. And you have to do what God says in order to be of God, to be born of God. If you haven't allowed the Lord to have His way in you, if you haven't allowed the Word to have its way in you, then you're not one with the Word. You're anti-Word, in other words, anti-God, in other words, anti-Christ. Okay, you could look, you may try to have a look of piety on your face, but I see that your face is disfigured. It isn't, the look of piety doesn't deceive me. The Lord looks at our deeds. Amen?
Amen.
And everyone can tell where we are in the Lord by watching what we do. Amen?
Amen.
I can see a little child when it behaves, when its mother's talked to or the dad has talked to it, it sits nicely and everything and does what it's told. And I can also see another one that's just ranting and raving and kicking everybody in the room. And the mother or dad says, now, Junior, stop it. Don't do that. And he still keeps kicking everybody and throwing pie and everything around the room. Well, it isn't hard to discover, you know, where this little child is coming from. The parents are not disciplining the child. Somehow the pie should be rubbed in the little person's nose. Amen?
Amen.
Or at least be given a dirty look. And, you know, you bite your thumbnail at them and say, you wait until later, you know. You're going to the woodshed. Okay, then what?
And His commandments are not grievous.
No, the Bible, the Word of God is not grievous because that makes us one with God, and that His power then dwells in us. He is the power, and He dwells in us. Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Me. He said, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the Almighty God. I was alive, and behold, I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. So no one can kill Him now. And even if you kill the person that has God in them, the Word in them, you're not killing the actual supernatural being that's inside the person. You're not killing the God that has mingled Himself, the Word that has mingled Himself with the spirit of the person inside. Because only God's Spirit is immortal, and if that Spirit has mingled Himself, that Word is immortal. It goes on forever. And if that Word is mingled in your spirit, then you are one with the Word, one with God, one with Christ, and you are anti-Christ. You're against the Antichrist. Amen?
Amen?
You have no tolerance for anything other than the Word, Christ, the living God. the spirit, the water, the blood. All right, then what?
Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Anything that's born of the Word, if you do what the Word says, then you overcome the world. And you read the Bible and see if anyone that really believed the Word of God became overcome. Did they?
No.
Tell me one. Enoch followed the Lord and pleased God very much because he walked with God. And the Lord took him. He overcame the world, didn't he?
Yes.
And Jesus, even though he laid his life down, said that I'd be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if I, the Word has overcome the world. Because in the Word, it's impossible to sin. That because he that sins, he that doesn't make himself one with the Word of God, is of the devil. Anything that is not the Word is the devil. So you must become the Word of God. You must become Christ. Christ is the Word of God. The Word of God is God. Look at me and try to understand these statements with your carnal mind. Don't do that. Receive by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Believe in the Word of God and thou shalt be saved. Don't try to figure that out with your carnal mind, because that's anti-God already. That's anti-Word, anti-Christ, okay? You are to blindly receive the Word of God in order to be one with the Word of God. Either this is God, the Word is, either this is Christ, the Word is, or it's just a big pack of lies. And if that's what you think it is, you'll never be the Word of God, the Son of God. A son of God, one with God. You have to become one with the Word. You have to become the Word of God. And you can't do that by 99% of the day just doing your own thing and paying, just waiting for someone to tell you the Word of God. You have to take the initiative yourself to dive into the Word of God and absorb it and become a member of the Word of God, so that the Word of God is in you. And it's full. You're full of the Word of God, and like a fountain, whenever it's needed, it comes up just like a geyser. And you're able to witness to people, and the testimony of that geyser coming out of you wins souls and draws people closer to the Word of God, God, Christ. Then what?
And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Our faith in the Word of God. That's the only way you have victory over the world. Amen?
Amen.
Is to be to be one with the Word of God. Now, when the Word of God was coming to Samuel, he said, he immediately got up and started looking, you know. I'm ready and willing and able to do whatever the man of God says to do. And when he found out that this was God talking to him, and when we find out, when we really have faith to believe that this is God talking to us here, then we're going to really allow ourselves to become one with the Word of God. But if you don't believe that this is God talking to you, well, then you're lost. You're damned. Because the Bible says, those that believe the Word of God shall be saved, which is Christ, which is God, and those that doubt that it is the Word of God, that it is God, that it is Christ, you're damned. Okay? And you can look as worried as you want. That worried look won't help you. Out here in the South, it won't help you. And if you want to be helped, you have to receive the Word, okay? Rebel? You don't want to rebel against the Word of God, amen?
Amen.
Because what you're doing is just cutting yourself off. Learn to swim in the Word. Then what?
Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
The he that believeth that Jesus is the Word of God. And that you are a son of God also by being one with the Word. He says, Jesus said, the Word and I are one. The first chapter in John says that Jesus and the Word are one, and that God and the Word are one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, which is Christ, and the Word was God, and the Word came into the world. That there shows you that the Word is God. Amen?
Amen.
So if you want to be one with God, or you want to be a man or a woman of God, you must be of the Word. You and the Word must be one. Amen?
Amen.
Not two, but one. 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 Uno. All right? Eins, if you're in Germany. Eins. In French?
Un.
Un. Amen?
Amen.
You have to be un or eins with the Word of God. Amen? Or uno. Okay, then what? In whatever language you are, just know it's one. One. Okay, then what else?
Verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ.
Right, because he was born of the Spirit and blood. God doesn't have blood. God is the Spirit, and Spirit doesn't have the blood. So he had to come into the world as a human, so that he'd have genuine human blood to shed for our sins. And so that showed that he was real, you know, because he took the punishment. This is the real truth, the real sacrifice. That's why the veil of the temple was busted, because the animal sacrifices ended there. That was the end of the old priesthood, where they burnt sacrifices, because the true sacrifice came into the world. The true bridegroom that is going to save everyone's soul that becomes one with him, the Word. That was the end of the whole thing. He said, it's finished. That's the Old Testament burnt offering. So anyone that's sending up burnt offerings of animals now, it's no good. You're just irritating God and angering him to no end, because he became our sacrifice. And that ended animal sacrifices right there. All those animal sacrifices were symbolic of Christ's coming. And when he came and did the sacrifice, the great sacrificial offering of himself, that ended all that. And so the veil of the temple was split down the middle, and we became the temple of God. Amen. We became the bride of God. And now we, after the veil, he enters into our flesh, then we show ourselves that we are his bride by becoming one with him, the Word, and doing what the Word says. Amen?
Amen.
And we become one with the Word, one with Christ, one with God, the Word. The Word and we are one. The Word and God is one. They're one. So it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Church, the Bride, and us, the New Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
So it's all four of us. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
I mean, I love that. What else?
This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ.
Right, he came into the world with real human blood in him. And he didn't commit a sin, so the blood was perfect. He wasn't born of Adam, he was born of God. If he would have been born of Adam, then he would have had the Adamic sin on his soul, and his blood would have been worthless so far as being a sacrifice for us. And so he was born of God. God begot him. And he, that was the Immaculate Conception. He was not born of man. Even though he was born of a woman, he also was begotten by God. So he was a God-man. He had the human nature and also the godly nature. Okay? And that's what happens to us. All we have is the human nature until the Spirit of God enters into us, and then we have the godly nature. And we become God-men. And, if you'd like to say it, God, a God-mankind, like a man or woman. Because men and women are mankind. Amen?
Amen.
Women are like the same kind as the man. Okay, so that's why the veil of the temple busted and is symbolic of the bride showing herself to the world now. We show the world that we're not the world any longer, that we are the Word, members of the real Word of God, so that people can say, boy, they're right on. You know, they tell it like it is and they live it like it is. That's the testimony. Amen, is that you're one with the Word of God. And that shows that you believe on the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can be saved. You're showing that to God. Now, if men don't believe it and they call you dirty liars and everything, I could care less. It doesn't bother me. I'm not bothered. Amen? People send me mail. I don't, you know, if it's that kind of a thing, I don't even, to me, it just kind of makes me sleep better at night. Because I know all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution and that will be hated of all men. And therefore, I feel very relaxed and relieved because I know that nobody ever sent me those kind of letters when I was a demonic person. But when I became one with the Word, that's when all these people just hate you. And the Lord says they hated me first, and they're going to hate you too. And so that's why it gives me peace. I say, oh, thank God, I'm saved. If I didn't get, some sort of bad vibes from demons, then I'd start worrying. You know, I'd probably turn white-headed. I might get pimples. Whiteheads, blackheads, everything else, halitosis. But to me, they're a joke, okay? It's sad that they're lost, and I know that if we just stand and stay and stay in the Word and everything, that there's a chance that they might get saved too, because they say, man, we've given this guy the business. I remember after I got out of jail, I just won another court case, and they had me in there, and they had $1 million bail because I was supposed to be worse than Hitler. You know, of course, you know, I don't know anybody worse than Hitler, but they were trying to make me look that way. And the press, they wanted to have a conference with me, so I got out and I went over to this motel where they wanted me to be in the morning at some motel, I forget. Remember the name of it? Days Inn or something, I don't know. And the press said, Tony, we've really given you a bad time, haven't we? And I says, yeah. And they says, well, why do you think we gave you a bad time? I said, because you're a bunch of liars, you know. You know that, don't you? And one of them is a big announcer, Paula, somebody on national television now. I said, you lie? And I said, you didn't really hurt me. I said, you just put a lot of stars in my crown. They did things, same thing with Christ. It made me feel good, really. You want to start pouring around some more. So they took a great big picture of me. I had my cowboy hat on. They put it in the front page of the paper, saying that I got sprung. Okay, now let's go.
This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood.
Yeah, not just by the Spirit, but he came into the world with the blood. He received human blood from Mary. But he came in with water, with Spirit also. Okay, then what?
And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Spirit bears witness because the Spirit is the Word. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are Spirit. And they are life. Amen? Because there's life in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
And the life is in the blood. Amen?
Yeah.
So you could actually be have the human nature and the power of God in you, and if you the Word of God in you, and if you live the Word of God and let the Word of God live in you, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, the Word, then you shall ask what you will and I'll give it to you. Okay? So in other words, if you become the Word, and the Word becomes you, then ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. Amen?
Amen.
That sounds like a very good deal to me. Amen?
Amen.
Very good. You know of a better deal than that?
Nope.
We go down to Earlshire for a paint job? Or over to, one of these used car lots? Uh-uh. No, this is the best deal in the universe. Amen?
Amen.
Become one with the Lord. Every day is a thrifty day. It's Thrifty Mart. Amen? Whatever you put in your shopping cart, you save and save it, Thrifty Mart. This is better. You have life eternal and everything that is in the universe. Amen?
Amen?
And it's free. Just believe the Word. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in God. And show Him by doing what the Word says. Become the Word of God. A member of the Word of God. Then what?
Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one.
Yeah, see, there's no blood in the kingdom of heaven. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, so it doesn't mention blood there. Read it again.
For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit.
All three of them are one. Amen?
Amen.
The Word is Spirit, the Father is Spirit. God says God is a spirit, and all those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. The Word is spirit. Okay? And then what?
And these three are one.
Amen.
Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood.
Yeah, because the Spirit is inside of flesh and blood. Amen?
Amen.
So there's a union there. I mean, we're God men and women. Amen?
Amen.
Capiche? Okay. Right? Because on earth we can have flesh and blood and the Spirit. We can become God, men and women, if the Word of God abides in us, if we believe. If we believe in the Word of God, then we shall be saved. If we believe so much that we become one with God. It has to be a mutual situation. The Word has to abide in you, live in you, and you have to live the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Tony, you're stepping on our toes now. We didn't mind coming to church, Tony. We didn't mind, but you're really splitting hairs with us now, making us have to do. Si, senor, amigos. You have to do it. Amen?
Amen?
You do or die. Repent or perish. Get in, get out. Shape up or ship out. That's the way the Lord talks. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one.
Yeah, in one person. I'm flesh and blood, and the Spirit and the water are in me, the Spirit of God. And we have to agree to do what the Word says. Amen?
Yeah.
In one body, in the body of Christ. Okay? We're not God, but we have to be one with God. Amen?
Yeah.
You have to believe in God. You have to believe in Christ, the Word. Amen?
Yeah.
The Word's God. So you have to be one with the Word. Amen? This is what this whole chapter is about. The whole Word of God is like that. Amen?
Yeah.
It's just saying the same thing everywhere. Then what?
Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater.
Yeah, the Word of God is greater. God is greater. Amen?
Yeah.
Then what?
For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son.
Of His Word. His Son is the Word. Then what?
Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God,
the Word of God,
hath the witness in himself.
You also have the same witness of God in you, just like Jesus did. The Word was in him, and your will is to do what the Word says, what God says, the Spirit says. Because the Word and the Spirit and the water are what, one?
Yeah.
Not two, one. And if you're one with the Word, you're one with God. Amen. He makes us. What manner of love the Lord has for us, that we should be called the sons of God. The part of the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Not part of the Word. We become one with the whole Word, because the whole Word abides in us. And we do the whole Word. Then what?
He that believeth not God hath made him a liar.
He that doesn't believe the Word of God says God's a liar. I don't believe it. I don't receive it, because that's saying God's a liar. In other words, there's no benefit. There's no heaven. There's no hell. I just think it's a lie. So I'm not going to exert myself. I'm going to sponge off the people of the Lord and reap in the blessings of the Lord. It's like the Bible says that they dine with you, and they sup with you, and they drink with you, and so on and so forth. But they are not of us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so then what?
He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son.
And the record of the Son is that he's the Word of God, and he's God, and he came to the world and showed us what God was and what he likes and what he doesn't like. The whole record, the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if he believes the record, who has believed our report, and to who has believed, and to who has the arm of the Lord Jesus Christ, been revealed? Because it tells plainly who he is and what he was and when he'd be born and when he'd die, how he'd die. And it tells all about the Lord, the Word of God, coming into the world. And if you don't believe that, after all these witnesses, well, then you're just cutting your own, you're committing suicide. And the whole world is committing mass suicide, because they refuse to become one with God, the Word, with Christ, the Word of God. Then what?
Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life.
Yeah, the spirit of eternal life. And the Word is spirit, and it is eternal life. So the more of the eternal life, the Word, the Spirit, that gets into you, the more eternal life you have. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And this life is in his Son.
This what? Life?
Yes.
Is in his Son, the Word of God. So if you want to have life, you get into the Word of God and stay there. Right? Stay right there. Because that's life. And you want to look for it someplace else? Ponce de Leon, he looked for, you know, a fountain of youth. All you got to do is open your Bible. That's the fountain of youth. The more you read, the younger you get.
Amen.
Because when you're in heaven, you look like you're 16, 17 years old. Everybody does. There's not one old geezer up there with their bony fingers. It's all like nice little plump fingers and toes. Okay? All right? And say, well, you're kidding. I'm not kidding. I'm telling the truth. It just sounds funny when you put it that way, but I've seen what a person looks like. I saw what two of us look like in heaven. I saw Jesus. That's the third one. I saw him right in front of my eyes. I saw Susie and myself in heaven. And boy, did we look better than anyone that I've ever seen on earth. And you'll look better than you ever did on earth. Who? You have a disfigured nose, or one of your eyes is lower than the other one, or your teeth are not straight, or part of your lip hangs down on one side or something. It's all going to be straightened out. If you've got a gimpy leg, it'll be straight. If you don't have arms and legs, you'll have them. There's nothing but perfection in heaven, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Yep. Your hair will be combed neatly. And you may resent that, the way I'm saying it, but that's the way it is. And to hell with your resentment. I love the idea of what I'm talking about, what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
There'll be no sorrow, tears, or anything. There's no pain. The weather's always perfect. And there's no want ever in heaven. You can think yourself somewhere, you know, and you'll be there. That's faster than the sound of, faster than the sound. Amen?
Amen.
I'll just think myself to Mars or something, you know? Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, then what?
Verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son...
He that has the Word of God has life. Then what? And he that doesn't have the Word of God has not got life. He that is the Word of God has life. He that doesn't have the Word of God doesn't have life. Then what?
Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God.
The name of the Son of God is the Word of God. That believe on the name, the Word of God. Of the Son of God, the Word of God. Amen? Then what?
That ye may know that ye have eternal life.
So if you believe in the Word of God, that should give you the confidence to know that you have eternal life. A lot of people don't believe that you have. You know, when you get rebuked, you say, oh my God, did I fall away from the Lord? Not if you still love the Lord's Word. If you love the Lord, amen? So that gives you confidence. Read that line again. That's very important. That's a powerful statement.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God.
I've written these things that believe on the Word of God. Because really, the Son of God is just the Word of God. Then what?
That ye may know that ye have eternal life.
So I did it so that you could know, have the assurance that you have eternal life. You can't love the Word of God and then sin. You can't, because he that sinneth is of the devil. Then what?
And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
That you may believe on the Word of God. Which is God, amen? Then what else?
Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth.
According to his word is his will, then what?
He heareth us.
Amen. That's confidence, isn't it?
Amen.
And what else?
Verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
Okay, what else?
Verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it.
Right, there's people, the sin unto death is that you just reject the Word of God and you don't do what it says. Or, you know, it's like blaspheming the Holy Spirit to say God is a liar. Okay, then what?
Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin.
Everything that is not of the Bible, the Word of God, is sin. That's what it's saying. Then what?
And there is a sin not unto death.
Right, those are sins of ignorance. You did it and you didn't know it was sin. Then what else?
Verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not.
Yeah, if you're of the Lord, you're going to keep the commandments. You're going to be the Word of God. Otherwise, if you're not, then you're sinning. And so you're not of the Lord. It says right there. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not.
He that is begotten is of the Word, who has let the Word of God beget them into the Spirit, is born of God. Amen?
Amen.
And what? And the evil one, this devil?
That wicked one toucheth him not.
The devil cannot touch you. He can't take your soul. Why? Because you love the Word of God. You love God. And you show it by keeping his commandments, eh? A what? Then what? Okay, what else?
Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding.
Yeah, the Word of God has come and given us, the Word of God has given us the understanding. Amen?
Amen.
When you read the Word of God, that's how it says you get understanding. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true.
Yeah, we're in. Are you in the Word? If you are, then you know him that is true. You know that it's true. Amen? Because there's a witness there, you know, that the Spirit's in you. Amen?
Amen?
And you're in the Spirit. It's not lying, it's the truth. You know, the Word is Spirit and life. Then what?
And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ.
In his Son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
This is the true God and eternal life.
The Word of God is the true God and the true eternal life. So if you have the Word, you have eternal life, because the Word is the Son. Then, is that it?
Verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
Yes, and anything other than the Word of God is an idol. Anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ is an idol. Now let's go back for the Word of God is coming unto Samuel, because he didn't know the Word of God, and he didn't know God. Amen? So God is coming to him with the Word to give him life. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
How it all correlates, right?
Amen.
All right, let's go now. Let's hear the Word is coming unto him. And we have the Word, all the Word in the Bible. But there's the Word also, the Holy Spirit enters into us and teaches us all other things that are not written in the Bible, where to go, when to come out, when to stay in, what to do every day, and the Bible teaches us that, and so we know that the Spirit is not going to tell us to do something other than what the Bible tells us to do. Like, for instance, the Bible, the Spirit of God is not going to tell you to kill somebody or pick up a gun and kill somebody or bomb somebody, because you know that that's contrary to the Word of God, and God never tells you to do anything that is other than the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's go.
Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Verse 9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place.
He's going to hear and obey the Spirit, the Word, God, Christ. Okay, and then what?
Verse 10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Verse 11, and the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. Translation, verse 1 through 11. The Lord speaks to Samuel. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel was serving the Lord by assisting Eli. In those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. Verse 2. One night Eli, who was almost blind by now, had just gone to bed. Verse 3. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Verse 4. Suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel! Exclamation mark. Samuel! Exclamation mark. Quote, Yes, Samuel replied, What is it? Unquote. Verse 5. He jumped up and ran to Eli. Quote, Here I am. What do you need? Unquote. Quote, I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go on back to bed. Unquote. So he did. Verse 6. Then the Lord called out again. Quote, Samuel! Exclamation mark. Unquote. Again, Samuel jumped up and ran to Eli. Quote, Here I am, he said. What do you need? Unquote. Quote, I didn't call you, my son. Eli said, Go on back to bed. Unquote. Verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because he had never had a message from the Lord before.
He'd never heard the Word, which is God. So he can't know God. You have to know God in order to be saved. You have to know him. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse
and you
8.
Don't know him by the nail prints in his hand, because there's a lot of guys that's got nail prints in their hands. Some people I know, guys that have run spikes in their hands. You know him by the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
Verse 8. So now the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel jumped up and ran to Eli. Quote, Here I am, he said. What do you need? Unquote. Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling him, the boy. Verse 9. So he said to Samuel, quote, Go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, Yes, Lord, your servant is listening. Unquote. So Samuel went back to bed. Verse 10. And the Lord came and called as before. Quote, Samuel! Exclamation mark. Samuel! Exclamation mark. Unquote. And Samuel replied, quote, Yes, your servant is listening. Unquote. Verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, quote, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. King James Version, verse 12.
See, the Lord is a God that likes to shock people. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. just like a little shock of electricity can wake you up. Amen?
Mm.
It's a wake-up call. He says, I'm going to wake up Israel. Then what?
King James Version, verse 12. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Verse 13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not.
So you do have to discipline your children, otherwise you get in trouble with the Lord. God will kill you also. He'll kill your sons or your family members or whoever you don't reprove and rebuke, and he'll kill you too for not doing it, okay? So a lot of people can't figure out why I'm always getting them, you know? Well, because, you know, if you want to go to hell, fine, but you're not going to, I'm not going to let, if you go, it won't be because I didn't tell you, okay? I'm not going to be like Mr. Eli, okay? And then what? I'm looking out for my hide, too, not just yours. Okay, then what?
Verse 14. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever.
There's no more sacrifice. That's what it says in the New Testament. If you, after you've been saved, and then you just start doing all kinds of vile things again, then there remains no more sacrifice for you. Because he made you a king and a priest, but he takes that away from you, and there means no more sacrifice for you. So he says, I'm not going to accept any more sacrifices from Eli because his sons are committing fornication with these women that are coming in there. He's not reproving and rebuking them. He didn't say one, he just says, why did you do that? Stop that. You know, like a wimp and a stinking wimp. And then they were not burning the offerings unto the Lord. They were just eating them up when they're not supposed to, giving them to the wrong people. Then what?
Verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision.
Yeah, I don't want to tell the guy he's going to get killed. And there's no more repentance for him. You know, I mean, that's rough. You know, it's like telling the President of the United States, you're going to die, and your kids, too. Those two beer-drinking daughters of yours? Huh? And you, too, you booze hound. And that's what he's going to have to tell Eli. You know, not that they weren't booze hounds, but, you know, they're sinners. I mean, then what?
Verse 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. Verse 17. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. Verse 18.
Come on, tell me what he said. You know, I'm inquisitive, because he knew it was the Lord talking to the boy. And what else?
And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground.
Whenever the Lord told him, he kept the word of God. He did not get afraid to say it. He, when the Lord moved on him to say something to somebody, he said it because he wanted to be one with God. He loved the word, and he, when the Lord moved on his spirit to say something or to give the word or to do something, he did it. And that's where you have to be in order to be one with the word. Then, so Samuel was a man of God. Then what?
Verse 20, and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord.
Yeah, how could they know that? Because they knew that he said everything that the Lord told him to say. He kept the word of God. And people see, they see you. I mean, you can't hide. If you're like the world, everybody doesn't see anything unusual with you. You're You're just like the world. You're like all the other scumbags out there. Well, how can you call sinners scumbags? Well, because if they don't get saved, they're going to become chaff. Now, if they become butterflies instead of caterpillars, well, then they go to heaven. So what I'm saying, a scumbag like I was has to repent and become, you know, a born-again person of the Word. Amen?
Amen.
And then if you come into the Word and decide to just do everything the Word against the Word, then the Lord says there's no more forgiveness for you. Because I'll tolerate it for a few little while. And then if you just keep thinking you're going to get by with it, then I'm going to come down and bring some prophecy unto you. There's no more repentance for you. I'm going to kill you and your soul's going to hell. Then what? That's exactly what it's saying. The Word says this. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to be afraid of doing something that is out of the will of the Word of God, which is God, out of the will of God. The Word. Then what?
Verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord.
Yeah, that's how he reveals himself. That's how we have understanding of the word. The Lord is by himself the word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now that's verse 21, and now we go into translation of, okay?
Verse 12 through 21. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family. Verse 13. I've warned him continually that judgment is coming for his family because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them.
Wait, blaspheming God? Blaspheme? Yeah, when you know to do right and you just do the exact opposite, you're thumbing your nose at God and you're committing blasphemy. That's unforgivable sin. Oh, yeah, you really have to be a Christian. You can't fake it, okay? Now, you can fake jobs, you know. Like I remember, you know, when I wanted to, there was no work in Billings, Montana. Man, I wanted a job. And they said, have you ever washed dishes before? I said, yes, sir. So I went in there and broke a few dishes, they fired me, and I went to the next place. Said, where'd you work before? Oh, this place. Oh, okay. We get back there, and I knew I didn't make the same mistake. I faked it. And then when I wanted to be a cook, you know, I faked it too. They says, let me see you flip an egg. So I flipped it and it broke all the time. Then one guy had patience with me. He says, here's how you do it. You tilt the pan like this, put a piece of bread in there so I don't break all my eggs up. And then just practice with a piece of bread and flip it. And pretty soon I just practiced there for about a half hour and finally I got it. Now we'll check you out with the eggs, okay? But with the Lord, you don't fake it. You know, you really have to live it. You have to become part of the Word. Amen?
Amen.
There's no faking it. You know, God knows everything.
Amen.
Okay? And he doesn't have tolerance with people that try to fake it. Okay? Because his Word is God, and you don't play with God like that. When we're unsaved, you know, everybody's out there knows everybody's a liar. Except somebody like Samuel, or somebody that's in the Word, you know, they know you're not a liar because you deal with them according to the Word. And, you know, I've always, you know, you have to be fair with people. If you say you're going to do something, you got to do it. Like there's a man that made a deal with us to sell one of the brothers some stuff for so much money. And then the guy, after a while, raised the price up $2,000 more. Instead of $6,000, it was $8,000. Then all of a sudden he came back to buy it and he said, now it's up to $12,000 now. Twice $6,000. And he claims to be a Christian. So I told Tommy, tell the guy that, look, man, you struck a deal. You've changed deals on us 3 times here with this. At first, then he told us we were going to get 100 loads of this thing. And then he's brought down to 70 and now down to 10. And say, man, how can you call yourself a Christian? The Bible says once you make a deal with somebody, you strike hands with them, that you have to perform it. Or else, no one's going to believe that you're a Christian. So the guy started blowing his sack on Tommy. And then he finally mellowed out. And so he says, well, he started muttering, and then, you know, now he's trying to make amends. Then he said, well, you know, the people that are with me, they're a part of the committee, they don't really believe in the strict doctrine, and it irritates them to hear you preaching the truth and all these things. And so they just don't want to do business with you anymore, with Tommy. And so Tommy told him, well, you know that you're wrong in the Lord, in the Word of God. And so you're in trouble with the Lord, and so are they. Because if we're preaching something other than the Word of God, show us. Show us. But you don't show us because you know you just hate God. You hate the Word. Amen?
Amen.
So that was a good testimony. And so finally the guy is still doing business with us and everything. So with Tommy, that is. Not me. I just like to preach the Word. Okay, now then.
Verse 14. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings.
Yeah, there's no more sacrifice for you. There's no more offering. Jesus died once. He's not going to die for you again and again. Not even one more time. He says, behold, I'm alive. I was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. I'm not going to die for you anymore. Once was enough. Okay? Once was enough. I'm not going to suffer and be beaten for you and everything. If you don't believe that I healed you, saved your soul, and healed you by the stripes, I'm not going to go and take another beating just because you don't believe. Your disbelief is damning you, okay? You can't be saved. You're not going to be healed. You're going to die. Because you're damned now because you don't believe my word. There's no victory for you anymore. There's no victory for you at all. And there's no prosperity for you. There's none of the blessings for you. There's all the power of God is taken away from you. And there's nothing left for you but an eternity of hell, fire, and the lake of fire. And you'll be deprived of everything because you deprive me, the living God, from living in your body. You denied my word, and now my word denies you. You thumbed your nose at me and mocked me. And now when you're going out into eternity, I'm going to laugh at you and mock you. And that's, read that in Proverbs chapter 1. Where God actually mocks people that have mocked him and laughs at them when their souls are departing out of their bodies, their decaying bodies, and they go straight into the pit of hell. And then later, the lake of fire. Okay, let's continue on.
Samuel speaks for the Lord. Verse 15. Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. Verse 16.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in that position many times where I didn't want to say what the Lord wanted me to say, but I know that I don't want to go to hell either, so I did it. And people say, oh, God, you really, you know, the congregation didn't like it. There were some people there. I had guests there and all this kind of stuff, and they didn't receive. Well, and then, you know, there was another guy telling me, well, now, Tony, I like, you know, the old-fashioned gospel songs. And I like the ones you sing and stuff like that. In other words, like, now, to make sure if I'm coming to the service that you don't do any modern gospel songs. Well, I don't do that anyway, you know. But it's like the congregation always trying to tell you what you're supposed to preach and how you're supposed to, you know, what you're supposed to sing. Okay. And I like that song, Great Speckled Bird. Yeah, sir, I understand that. Yeah, we'll do that for you. Okay. Okay, then what?
Verse 16. But Eli called out to him, quote, Samuel, my son, unquote. Quote, here I am, Samuel replied. Verse 17. Quote, what did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything. And may God punish you if you hold anything from me! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 18. So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. Quote, it is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks best, unquote.
The Lord says in the book of Revelation that the fearful, to say what he says and do what he tells you to do, the fearful and the unbelieving in the Word of God, God, Christ, she'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
You have to really receive that, or else you're lost. And then what else?
Verse 19. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said was wise and helpful. Verse 20. All the people of Israel, from one end of the land to the other, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. Verse 21. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. And Samuel's words went out to all the people of Israel.
They could tell that the Lord was talking to him, because you can tell when a prophet or a teacher or a preacher is bringing forth the word of God, that it stirs you, your heart up. Amen?
Amen.
You can feel the Spirit of God, the word of God, dealing with your spirit. All right, now let's go ahead with the commentary. Now, that was chapter 3, 1 Samuel. Now, the 21 verses, now some commentary.
3 verse 1. This is the fourth statement that contrasts Samuel with the wicked sons of Eli. See chapter 2, verse 11, 21, and 26.
Right. Eli was, his sons were wicked. Samuel was of the Lord. Then what? That's a contrast.
The word was rare because sin blocked the revelation of God at the spiritual center of the nation. 3 verse 3, quote, the lamp of God, unquote, refers to the golden candlestick whose seven lamps were trimmed each evening and burned until the oil was exhausted in the morning.
Yeah, and those lamps are symbolic of the word of God and the seven spirits of God. Okay? That's symbolic. The Bible is full of symbolism and also literalism. Okay, then what?
Quote, before the lamp went out, unquote, indicates the time to be very early in the morning hours. Chapter 3, verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord in a personal or direct way. 3, verse 10.
The lamp of the Lord is never to be put out. Okay, then what else?
It is important for Samuel to know at his inauguration into the prophetic office that the Lord has spoken and that the Lord knows him by name. Quote, your servant's ears, unquote. Samuel has learned servanthood and submission as well. As he has been immediately available to Eli, he's now immediately available to the Lord. He is beginning to know the Lord, verse 7.
So the Lord doesn't condemn him for not knowing all about the Lord, because he knows the Lord and he wants to know more and more and more. If you really love the Lord, then you want to know more about Jesus, the Word. More about the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's like you know how narcotic addicts are like hooked on morphine and all these things? You just want to get more and more of the Lord of God. You can't stand it to not know. And if that desire is not in you to know the Lord more and more, then pray that the Lord will give you that kind of a heart. He did that to Solomon. The Lord talked to Solomon in a dream and asked him, what did he want? What do you want, Solomon? He says, oh, Lord, you were real kind to my father David, and you protected him and done all these things, and now you've made me the king of Israel and Judah. Lord, give me the wisdom to rule your people according to your word. I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to do anything wrong. Just make me a wise ruler over your people. And because he asked for wisdom and understanding, wanted to know the things of the Lord so that he could rule well and not make mistakes and not hate his brothers and sisters and the people of Israel, the Lord gave him the wisdom. And he said, because you didn't ask for riches or the lives of your enemies, he says, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you the wisdom. I'm going to give you the knowledge. I'm going to make you the wisest man, king that's ever been on earth or ever will be. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to give you riches, untold riches and fame. And he didn't ask for the lives of his enemies. Lord, kill those weasels. He didn't ask that. He just wanted to be wise, you know? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
3 verse 11, quote, ears, unquote, tingle, is a figure of speech used to indicate the horror that is to occur to Eli and his sons.
Yeah, make you just pucker. Then what?
3 verse 13 through 14. The sacrifices and offerings betimes for forgiveness cannot atone for their sin because they have been corrupted and disdained by Eli and his sons. 3 verse 19. His, quote, words do not fall to the ground, unquote, because God fulfills the words that Samuel speaks in prophecy.
So that's how people know the year of the Lord, is the things that you're saying come to pass. Everybody knew there's a man of the Lord in the land now. Now the word of God is flowing into the land now. People are hearing God now. They're learning God. They're starting to believe God. They're believing the prophet that the Lord sent. And now they can be saved if they believe the word. Okay, then what? So people say Jesus was in the word. World, yes, the word has always been, amen, come before the foundation of the world. The word came to Adam and Eve. As a matter of fact, the word made Adam and Eve, amen?
Amen.
All the animals, the trees, bushes, plants, grass, birds, fish, and fowl, everything. Okay, what else?
3 verse 20. Samuel serves as priest, prophet, and judge. He is the last judge of Israel and provides the transition from rule by judges to rule by king. Prophet, Nabi, N-A-B-I, pronounced Navi, Strong's Concordance number 5030. Look it up. Prophet, one who proclaims or tells a message he has received from the Lord, a spokesman, an announcer. A prophet is someone who announces a message at the direction of another. Of course, most usually the Lord God. Nabi occurs more than 300 times in the Old Testament. 6 times the word is in the feminine form, Nabiya, and is translated prepophysis. These 6 references are to Miriam, Deborah, Huldah twice, and Noadiah, and Isaiah's wife, doubtless a prophetess in her own capacity. In all other references, Nabi is masculine, quote, prophet, unquote. The word can refer to false prophets and to prophets of false gods, but nearly always refers to Yahweh's commissioned spokesman. 3 verse 21 through 4 verse 1. We have moved from the word of God being, quote, rare, unquote, to verse 1, to a restoration of the Lord's word and his presence. 3 verse 1 through 10. Learning to listen to God's voice is an important part of our growth in the faith process. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11. God spoke directly to young Samuel, and he speaks to us clearly and relevantly to the Holy Spirit and his word. James chapter 1 verse 22. We need to listen to God's voice as we study to understand the truth of his word, the Bible.
Well, his voice is the word of God, so you can learn the truth of God and understand him very well by reading the word. And we have the whole word now, not like they did back then. Then what? We have the whole Christ, the whole word, all of God. Then what?
There we will find the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and direction that we need by prayer to progress in completion of our faith's maturity.
And now the mystery of God is being revealed. All the mystery. So many people in the past have said, it's mysterious, you know. And Billy Sunday and all kinds of different older preachers says women are not allowed to prophesy. They're not to, but the New Testament and also Joel in the Old Testament tells that I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and my servants and handmaidens shall prophesy. Amen?
Amen.
So these old codgers are wrong. Amen?
Amen.
If you're really of the Lord. Now, there's a lot of people out there preaching that are not prophets of the Lord or prophetesses or teachers, but, you know, learn the word so you can tell which is which. Okay, what else?
3 verse 16 through 18. Samuel's honesty is obvious as he comes clean, telling Eli everything. He even told Eli the devastating truth about the priest's own family and the suffering that he would endure. He comforted Eli with his failure, stating clearly the truth God had given him. Such forthrightness must be part of any recovery program. As we discover the truth about ourselves and others through the Spirit of God in His Word, we will need to speak that truth to ourselves and others. This should comfort people. It won't always do that, but because it is love for them, for their encouragement, for their spiritual guidance and growth. For some folks, this is never really easy, but it is for me, and it is a very important part of having a loving relationship, a godly relationship with others.
All right, that was the third chapter of 1 Samuel, 21 verses, commentary, and we went through 1 John chapter 5, and pray that the Word of God is now known to you as God Himself. The Word of God is now known to you as Jesus, and that believe on the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Same as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Meditate on that every day. I mean, why not? Amen?
Amen.
So that you don't have to get to the point where there remains no more sacrifice for you, no more forgiveness. That's something to really meditate on. Amen?
Amen.
And get out there and tell other people about the Word of God. Become zealous. As the Lord says, elsewise, He'll spit you, and He can't tell a lie, He'll spit you out of His mouth, which means out of the body of Christ, which means out of the kingdom of heaven, which means out of the New Jerusalem, out of the church. And it's something to meditate on. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, these are warnings from the Lord because He loves us. He doesn't want for us to doubt His Word because we can see through the Word that He's always performed what He said He'd do. Until chapter 4, this is Tony Alamo, who, if I'm not your pastor, I want to be. And until chapter 4, God bless you and praise the Lord.